like Mary and I just said a little bit, it's too late to get out of this now. I'm committed. I can't help but start by speaking of the two hymns we just sang, Blessed Assurance and Draw Me Nearer. They're both written by Fanny J. Crosby, who, though blinded at 6 weeks of age through improper medical treatment, went on to write over 8,000 gospel hymn tunes in her lifetime of 95 years. Isn't that amazing? And who can imagine the impact, her spiritual impact, her hymn writing has had on our lives through all the years. So she overcame great adversity, and we all can do the same thing. As I was preparing what I would say, I recall the first time Ginger Armstrong, who was the ATD at the time, the job that Mary has, asked me if I would give an opening, and without even giving it a thought, I said no. the idea of standing in front of a crowd of people and speaking just absolutely terrified me. But furthermore, I didn't think I had anything to share at the time. So anyway, needless to say, God is a way of gently pulling us out of our comfort zone and drawing us closer to Him and allowing us to say yes to those opportunities. So I hope that what I have to say will bring honor and glory to His name and perhaps encourage you a little bit on your journey. I ran across an opening I wrote shortly after I had told Ginger no. Obviously, I never shared it publicly, but as I read it again, many things fell into place for me. The opening began with the following line. Well, and I'm just going to hold it up. I found it written on, you know, pages and pages of yellow legal pad. And it's kind of interesting to see how things turn out. But the opening began with the following line from a devotional by Chuck Swindoll. How does the servant of God cope when the bottom drops out? Well, I can honestly say that the first time the bottom really dropped out for me was March 6, 2001, when my mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and given 6 months to live. My sister's husband and I were with her when we heard this devastating news in Jackson, Mississippi. Marcia, my sister who's here today, the redhead on the second row, was at home in Florida when we shared the news with her. Well, I learned from that end-of-life experience with Mother that God truly was and is in control. He walked alongside of us. He provided what we needed when we needed it. And while He didn't heal Mother physically, He provided ultimate healing when He took her home September the 21st of 2001. My faith grew through this experience as I learned to depend on Him to guide me. And I'm going to stop a minute. I'm so dry. I should have done this before I started. Excuse me. I learned to depend on Him to guide me through this experience and through the unknowns that we would experience along the way. There was such a sense of peace as I learned to surrender totally to His will for Mother. As I look back on that time, I'm aware that the experience prepared me for the bottom to drop out in a huge way 9 years later. Last November, I shared with you a life-changing experience that my husband Daryl and I were living at the time. To summarize, Daryl was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer on August the 18th of 2010 while I was in Florida visiting my sister. I got to thinking, we get a lot of bad news in Florida sometimes. Anyway, I was visiting my sister and her family, so you can only imagine the despair I was feeling being so far away. The mass was removed from his colon the following day, so he was pretty much cancer-free in that area, but it had metastasized to his liver, so anyway, but meanwhile, going on at the same time, our daughter was expecting our first grandchild around the 1st of October, and her husband, Patrick, was deploying to Afghanistan around the due date. So our lives were very complicated. Daryl and I planned to drive out there at the time Pat deployed and spend time helping Amy with Harper. Well, that plan got changed, as you all can imagine. Clearly, that was not going to happen, but God graciously did provide for her, for them. Harper Elizabeth Murray was born September 23rd, 5 days before her daddy's deployment. Daryl had recovered enough at that time that I was able to fly out there on the 27th, and I can tell you that was a huge prayer because selfishly I wanted to be the first grandma to hold her. since Amy had had a C-section, it would be up to me to drive us home from Camp Pendleton the next morning after leaving Patrick to begin his deployment. Well, as we drove home, I expected Amy to be sad and tearful. Instead, she expressed gratitude that Pat had been able to spend those first 5 days with them. I just thought that was amazing. Her attitude of gratitude was an incredible example to me. As I left the following Saturday, Pat's mom, Sarah, arrived to be with them for 3 weeks, followed by my sister, Marcia, for another 2 weeks. So Amy was very blessed to have a loving mother-in-law and aunt to fill in the gap that I couldn't do. But God graciously gave me peace knowing that my place was going to be primarily with Daryl for the next many months. So Daryl had a series of 10 chemotherapy treatments between October and February. The purpose of the chemotherapy was to shrink the lesions that had metastasized in his liver and then hopefully have surgery later, and he did. Following those treatments, he had 2 surgeries and an additional procedure at MD Anderson, surgeries on his liver, by the way. And the last surgery left him with approximately one-third of his liver remaining. Pathology on the portion removed revealed him to be cancer-free. So really, he was cancer-free going into the surgery, but the only way he'd be absolutely sure would be to remove every trace of anything that had ever been there. Anyway, fortunately, the liver regenerates, and over time, Daryl has essentially grown a new liver since that final surgery. And at this point, I'd like to share a website we used during his illness called caringbridge.org. It was such a source of encouragement and blessing to both of us. It afforded us a place to share daily news or weekly news or whatever was going on with a mass of people without having to be on the phone and, you know, without having to tell each individual over and over and over. And it also gave family and friends a place to respond through the guest book. So many of you took the time to check the website and keep up with us there. During the times we spent at MD Anderson, it was just a huge blessing to us to be able to read those comments, and we're very grateful for that. It gave us a lot of encouragement. I hope none of you ever have need of this, but if you or someone you know should need it, it's a free service, it's easy, and I would be glad to share more about that if you're interested. Anyway, in late September, we returned to MD Anderson for the first of Daryl's every 3-month checkups, and the CT scan reveals a healthy new liver. His surgeon told us that Daryl's liver would never, and he used the word never, which I find amazing, have a problem functioning properly. And I think that's just amazing. We're both so grateful to be on this side of a pretty tough situation. We're aware that he's had the best of care medically, top-notch surgeons, et cetera, but we're also so aware that the great physician, along with loads of prayers, had a huge hand in this process. For me personally, I know that I surrendered at some point the outcome. I left it totally up to God. I felt at peace knowing that we were never alone, and whatever the outcome, we would be okay. I have to admit that there are so many things I don't understand about disease, illness, death, why some people survive serious illnesses and others don't. But I have to remind myself that God never asks us to understand, only to trust Him. And that's a huge part of leaving the outcome to Him, really. One thing I learned again along the way that was that my plan and God's plans are sometimes different. I should say often different. An example was that twice during the process, I had plans to fly to California to be with Amy and Harper. Well, both times, Daryl had some complications, and I had to reschedule my plan. I did end up going later. The first time it happened, I was completely devastated. I don't understand it, but, you know, it's like you handle all these things, and then something happens, and you just get blindsided by it, I guess. But anyway, as it turned out, my rescheduled trip was exactly when Amy needed me. That could be another opening, if you could just imagine. There were things going on. I needed to be there for her. So God was so good in rescheduling my trip. And this happened the second time as well. Had I gone when I had wanted to, I would have been with them when I would not have been with them when there was a really clear need. So that's something that I need to remember when I don't always get my way. I'm very grateful that I've spent time over the years in God's Word developing a relationship of faith and trust. When the bottom dropped out, I knew where to turn, and he was there for me. Let me share the rest of Chuck Swindoll's devotional. After the original question, how does the servant of God cope when the bottom drops out, he states, I have found great help from 2 truths. First, nothing touches me that has not passed through the hands of my Heavenly Father. Nothing. Whatever occurs, God has sovereignly surveyed and approved. We may not know why. We may never know why. but we do know that our pain is no accident to Him who guides our lives. Everything I endure is designed to prepare me for serving others more effectively. Everything. That's the second truth. Since my Heavenly Father is committed to shaping me into the image of His Son, He knows the ultimate value of this painful experience. It is a necessary part of the preparation process. It is being used to empty our hands of our own resources, our own sufficiency, and turn us back to Him, the faithful provider. From our Lesson 10 commentary this week, that surely the rest of you haven't read yet because we're really not supposed to, right? I read, quote, "There is no greater comfort than to experience the presence of our victorious Savior when the world is crashing down around us. I am so grateful that He is right here when I need Him." Still quoting the commentary, "The sweetness of the gospel is not that we are spared tribulation or suffering, but that the Lord Jesus promises to walk through hard times with us. He has committed Himself to bringing us out triumphantly on the other side, both in heaven with Him and stronger, more mature in our faith here on earth. Life's sour times make us savor the sweet times." All of this reminds me of a truth I often think about, perhaps a misinterpretation of 1 Corinthians 10:13 that reads, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Well, I've also often said that God never gives us more than we can handle, but provides a way out or something along those lines. But the truth is, I believe that God does allow us to experience situations that are more than we can handle, so that we must lean on Him and His strength. If He only allowed us what we could handle, we really wouldn't need Him so much, I don't think. Incidentally, Amy's husband Patrick returned safely from Afghanistan last April, and that's the happy family right after her first birthday. Harper is a happy, well-adjusted 13-month-old who celebrated her first birthday in late September. I get distracted. I'm going to keep my eyes down here. I just returned late Tuesday evening from a long weekend in California, mostly babysitting Harper, so that her parents could attend the Marine birthday ball. Amy and Harper will be flying out here Saturday night for about 9 days, and my niece, Marcia's daughter, is also coming Saturday, so we're going to have such joyful family time, all of us girls and Daryl. Anyway, let me encourage each of you to begin, or continue for sure, strengthening your relationship with our Lord, because as Cheryl often tells us, life is not the way it is supposed to be. Each of us experiences pain at times. When you find the bottom drop out in your life, you need a Savior to turn to. God is building His kingdom, but while we're here on earth, He is always here to comfort, guide, and give us His peace and protection. Thanks be to God. We're going to conclude by singing the chorus, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." I want you to just go ahead and stand up. We'll sing it a cappella, and I'm going to step back. I'm not going to sing into the mic, but I will try to give you the pitch. Anyway. Okay. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You're dismissed to go to your core groups.